This is the voice of Central Illinois, WJBC and WJBC.com.
WJBC and WJBC.com. Welcome back to the Afternoon Report. It's 4:15. I'm Sam Wood. Thanks for joining us. And on the line this afternoon from the Illinois chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, we have spokesperson Ed Yonka. Ed, thanks for calling in this afternoon.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be with you today.
Yes, good to be joined with you once again. We're talking about, and I think this is exactly what we talked about last time, though to a different extent. The so-called, whatever you want to call it, travel ban, travel pause.
Well, we don't have to say so-called anymore, Sam. It's all been defined for us, and we know exactly what it is, and I think we know who sets the policies of the, you know, of this administration, and he has said it's a ban, and so, I think we ought to take him at his word.
So, talk about that, Ed, because every article I've seen today, even from some conservative outlets, is saying why is the president contradicting everything that's been told? You know, Secretary John Kelly of Homeland Security had been on Fox News on the 28th of May, so like just a couple weeks ago, saying, you know, just listen to the president's words. This is a travel pause. Listen to the president's words. So what, I mean, is this just a moment of frustration for the president that he thought, I'm going to have to get real here on Twitter, or is this just a total lack of communication between this administration?
I think it's first of all, I'm going to say that one of the things I'm most happy about in my life today is that I am not the spokesperson for the President of the United States. And so I am really not bound by any responsibility to speak for him, nor could I, apparently. But to really get to the underlying issue here, I think what we're seeing is that whether it's frustration, whether it's forgetfulness, whether it's sloppiness, whatever it is that we have reached the moment where the president is effectively acknowledging what many of us have been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks, which was that his ban was always intended to be a ban on people of the Muslim faith entering the United States of America. And I think that one of the things that this demonstrates in very clear fashion is that, you know, he is no longer interested in talking about the nuance of the policy. You know, he believes a single attack in a foreign country is now the justification for that ban. So I really think that this is, you know, Michael Kinsley, you know, who was a noteworthy journalist in Washington, D.C., has always said that a gaffe is what happens in Washington when a politician tells the truth. And I think that that's what we've had here today, is despite all of the claims, despite all of the machinations, despite all the filings, despite all the declarations by Secretary Kelly or Attorney General Sessions or other people around this, this is what this president always intended this to be, and he's got to live with those words.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the more curious tweets from the president was, and then I'm reading directly from it, the Justice Department should have stayed with the original travel ban, not the watered-down, politically correct version they submitted to SC, speaking about the Supreme Court.
Right.
But wasn't it the president that signed off on the watered-down, revised version of the policy? It dropped a rock from the list of countries, so made it from 7 to 6. But, I mean, the president signed off on what he's calling a watered-down bill, right?
Well, I think this is, you know, I have to say that when I read that this morning early, I was confused because I agree. I thought he was the person who signed off on it. And I thought that he was the person who set the policy and set the course and set the direction. Remember that after the Ninth Circuit ruled on the initial ban, you know, he said, we'll see you in court. And we, you know, first of all, at the ACLU, we're a little upset he stole our line. But the fact of the matter was is that we thought that that's where we were headed, was actually to a challenge around that. And then, of course, they quickly changed to say that they were going to, you know, make these alterations. Then you'll remember we went through a period of time where we were told that the new executive order was coming any day. But then that was delayed because the president got good ratings and good publicity out of his speech to Congress, and so they didn't want to step on their message, so they said they were delaying it as the result of that. And, of course, then we finally got to the point where they issued it. So it was, you know, it's been clear from the beginning that this was never about national security. This was never about, you know, any kind of real sense of, you know, protecting people or advancing, you know, a policy matter. You know, this was just raw politics from the beginning, and I think that today's outburst, if that's what we call it, or tweet storm, or however we label it, is really just a reflection of that fact, and really kind of a lack of understanding that we continue to see with this president about how government and governance actually works.
Mm-hmm. We're joined this afternoon with Ed Yonka with the Illinois chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, and talk about just the policy aspect of it, because the president seems to be implying that, you know, if his ban or pause would have been implemented, that perhaps attacks like the ones that happened in London and things like this could be prevented. And a lot of people are back, you know, pushing against the president on that by saying, well, if it was just a 90-day pause, you know, this may not have done anything. How does the ACLU see it?
Well, first of all, I think we don't, you know, we don't agree that the way to protect ourselves as a country is to shut ourselves off from the rest of the world, and especially through a ban, which is clearly and was clearly intended to be discriminatory on the basis of somebody's religious beliefs, and so that kind of policy won't ever advance us in any way, shape, or form. I think the other thing that's interesting, you know, just as a, you know, really, frankly, just as a factual matter, is that these, you know, whether or not you're talking about the events in Manchester or whether you're talking about the events in London over the weekend, that these tend to be activities that are taken and undertaken by people who are at least native-born citizens, often, you know, sometimes one and two and three generations into living in this case, in England. And so the idea that somehow banning refugees who have an absolutely undisturbed record of never having been at the heart of any of these kinds of activities in terms of terrorism is something that I think, again, just sort of demonstrates the lack of real understanding about not only what the problem is, but about what real solutions are in terms of from the president. I think that's the thing, as much as anything about this, is worrisome. Because, you know, what you really see is a commander-in-chief who doesn't understand, you know, what it is that you know we're really facing and what the reality of that is, and continues to just want to spit out sound bites that make it sound as though he continues to be part of is more of a candidate running against an administration as opposed to actually being the person who's supposed to be leading the country.
Well, and with that said, you know, I've been reading all sorts of dystopian think pieces today on what might happen. You know, President Trump was tweeting at the mayor of London, taking some comments he had made out of context to promote his own travel ban. And I'm wondering, based on some of these unsettling pieces I've been reading from opinion columnists today, I mean, what happens when something very serious happens domestically, when we do have an event in America? You know, we've got this headline from the Associated Press telling us we can't trust the president to handle, to be able to accurately give us information on events abroad. What happens if something happens at home?
You know, I suppose the answer is, Sam, that I don't know. But it's really a frightening prospect. We are in this kind of precarious moment in which the president doesn't seem to be able to either understand or want to understand what's happening around us and what the facts actually are. We saw recently, of course, that the president went out and was already labeling as a terrorist event an event in the Philippines, which the Philippines government, you know, said was not a terrorist event.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is to create this dark, dangerous picture of America and of things threatening America. And I think it raises a really troubling prospect about, you know, what is, where we're, and how we're making policy, and how we would make policy, of course, were there to be, you know, some sort of calamity or attack or something else of that nature here. You know, I think that it is, you know, it's clear both from the approval ratings and from other things that one can read that this is a president who's playing to a smaller and smaller audience, but is absolutely steadfast in terms of wanting to play to that audience and play to their, you know, sort of interest. And I think that it really does raise some fundamental questions about where we are and what it is that we can trust and the fact that we ought not to take things at face value from this government.
All right, Ed, last question before we let you go. I'm just curious, and I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what does this do for the travel ban that's tied up in court right now? Are these tweets from the president actually going to tank this case? Because, I mean, U.S. government lawyers have been trying very hard not to say travel ban, calling the temporary pause, and now the boss has flipped the tables on him.
Well, I think let's just look at the past few weeks. I think there's no question that these kinds of tweets, these kinds of communications are ending up, as it turns out, you know, really often end up to be a reflection of the real policy, right? We had, you know, a few weeks ago, we had the official statements on why it was that the head of the FBI was released. Those statements were repeated by a number of different people and a number of governmental officials over several days. And then, of course, the president shared with us the real reason why Mr. Comey was fired. So I think that this fits into the same category. I think what we're seeing is, you know, a president who, you know, is not going to stick to the script and is going to tell you exactly why things are, even when they're corrosive. And I believe these will enter into the discussion of before the Supreme Court of the United States, because I think they do reveal, you know, an absolute kind of reason and rationale for this action by the government and by the president in particular.
Yeah. All right, that's Ed Yonk, a spokesman with the Illinois chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. Ed, as always, we appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Sam.